here we are 10 days before Christmas. I'll wager that quite a few listeners to Around Cincinnati have seen the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Parks production of A Christmas Carol. If not in the past few weeks, then sometime during the past two decades, since it's now in its 23rd year. My guest this evening knows the show and its characters in a very different way. You might say from the inside out, or maybe more accurately, from the top down. Daniel Townsend studied wig and makeup design at the University of Cincinnati's College Conservatory of Music. Before he came back to Cincinnati a few years ago, he served as the wig master for Shakespeare festivals in Colorado and in Utah. From 2009 to 2012, he was the resident wig master and makeup artist at the Cincinnati Playhouse. This is his first season off in several years, but he hasn't forgotten what it was like to be involved in a production like A Christmas Carol. In fact, he's put it into writing in a book that he published recently. It's called A Mouthful of Goose, Backstage Stories from A Christmas Carol. Daniel, thanks for stopping by this evening to tell us a little bit about your book.
Thanks for having me.
We're looking forward to getting a little bit of a glimpse of what goes on backstage while Scrooge is being educated by those ghosts on Christmas Eve. So let's start with just a quick rundown on what prompted you to write your book. You say you were part of the wig crew. I believe you were the crew, in fact. Maybe you should talk a little bit about what that means and how you interacted with people there.
Being the wig master, I was the only one in charge of wigs and makeup on the show and on all the shows. But Christmas Carol is the only show during the year that I would work backstage on. So I was a crew of one. I would put on wigs for the actors during changes. I would assist the wardrobe crew in doing any wig changes quickly that they might need.
And sometimes those are pretty quick changes.
They can be very quick, especially for the lead characters who have to change rapidly.
How many actors are there in the show?
Oh,
it's probably at least two dozen.
Yes, yeah. just about.
So you were probably busy from, I would say start to finish, but probably even before it started, you were pretty busy getting people prepared.
There are over 30 hair pieces, wigs, little pieces, ponytails. It's a big production.
I understand that you also work with a lot of the other people. I mean, obviously with wardrobe, I suppose, because hair and wardrobe are going to sort of go together, but the sound crew, stage managers, you're probably interacting with all of those kind of people.
I interact with the stage managers, with the children and their parents, especially when everybody gets haircuts. Mm-hmm. They have to come through, and I deal a lot with their parents, which is also kind of fun. But yeah, the wardrobe crew, costumes, set people upstairs, I'm all over during the show. Yeah.
And of course, your job as the wig master is to make the hair on these people look like it's really theirs or really a real wig that you would wear if they're sort of in the period when they wore wigs. So that means, I guess, that you have to make some look natural, like everybody has a ponytail.
Yes. Most of the guys during the Fezziwig scene wear ponytails, but they obviously can't grow their hair, and making wigs for each one of them would just be too time-consuming. So we just whip a little hair onto some clips and clip it into the back of their hair for the number.
And hope they have enough hair in the back of their head to hang it on, I suppose.
And that it'll stay.
Yeah, right. Are there other things that you did? I know you did wig stuff. Some makeup, too, also. Is that true?
Right. At the beginning of the show, I would always do the ghost of Marley and his makeup. And then I would help the ghost of Christmas Past doing her makeup as well and just give general makeup advice throughout the show to anybody who needed it.
The ghost of Marley, the first time we see him, he does look like he's dead. He's a little lively, but he looks dead. But then we see him subsequently as we flash back into Scrooge's past as what he was like in life. So that's probably a fairly significant makeover that has to happen.
It's a lot of makeup remover quickly so that he can remove all the foundation. He has several layers of makeup on at that time when he's the ghost, but when he becomes his younger self, his much alive self, then it's makeup remover and he gets a ponytail in the back.
Now, that particular actor, Greg Procaccino, here in Cincinnati, has been in the production all of his 23 years.
Yes, he has.
And he also has played, although I don't know if he has played it every year, the character of Joe, who's the guy who is sort of the junk merchant at the end. And that is a whole other set of makeup for him.
Yes. Then. And he actually does that himself. He would come back during one of my changes, and I would lay out everything and prepare it for him. And he roughly goes through this decrepit-looking makeup and eye patch and top hat and raggedy beard.
And quite an attitude.
Yes.
Yeah. Your book contains a lot of funny tales about children who look so adorable on stage. One of your chapters is titled, in fact, The Cowboy Handbook for Child Wrangling, which apparently you got to do some of while you were doing it. I especially liked the tale of two rambunctious ragamuffins who play the characters we see briefly who are called Want and Ignorance. Could you talk a little bit about that story?
Child wrangling is not in my job description, but inevitably, they always find their way back to me. And Want and Ignorance are two not really well-known characters, but they appear toward the end of the show with the Ghost of Christmas Present, and they come back to get their makeup on. And it's always a race, a competition between the two.
And these are children who yes. are playing just regular children mm-hmm. in other scenes, just yep. little Victorian children sort mm-hmm. of decorating the stage.
You see them at the top of Act Two, and then they rush downstairs, get changed with costumes, get their hair messed up, get some makeup on, and then they're back out. They're the ones that crawl out of the trap door.
And look, I don't know if they want look ghostly. They look kind of spooky. They're kind of scary. This is a point where Christmas Present is trying to convince Scrooge of the importance of paying attention to the social ills of the world at that point in time, which Scrooge has been largely ignoring up to then.
Exactly.
Because actors and others who are involved in a production like A Christmas Carol, which is done over and over and over again, sometimes they like to spice things up with a little bit of prank making, I
yes.
guess I'd say. I especially enjoyed the story that you called Baby Mischief, which is a trick being played on the actress who's the wife of Fred, Scrooge's nephew. Mm-hmm. We see her as pregnant in the second mm-hmm. act, and then she comes out for the curtain call carrying a baby. Only yeah. sometimes that's not quite the baby that she's carrying, or it's a baby enhanced.
Exactly, yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
The head of wardrobe, Cindy, she always loves to have fun with the actors and actresses. And so she'll usually come up to me before the show and ask, like, what can we do with this baby? Well, one day we put little fangs on it, and it was a vampire baby. One day we put an eye patch on it, and it was a swashbuckler on the seas. And so whenever she goes to pick it up, Catherine Margaret, she sees this. One day we had a big stink bug on it, and she almost dropped it. So it's so much fun.
The audience doesn't see this at all.
No, no, it's all backstage.
Yeah, yeah. One of your other wig stories that I especially enjoyed was the one called The Rich Father's Wig Rebellion. Mm. That sort of relates to what you're saying about ponytails getting away, although this was perhaps a little more momentous.
It's hard, especially in that Fezziwig dancing. You know, there's so much life to it, a lot of dancing. But keeping those wigs on, especially for gentlemen, is really hard because there's not much hair to pin to underneath. And so the story that I wrote is about this one wig that just continually would slide down the back of his head. It never fell off, thank goodness. But the story is then, what if it does? What can you do to cover that up? Because then the audience gets to have a great time.
You call yourself the wig master, but in a case like that, it's really the wig that takes charge, isn't it?
It becomes the center stage.
Yeah. How long did it take you to write this book?
It took me about 2 years to write this book. I gathered the source material from two different Christmas Carol seasons, and then I took this year to compile the stories.
Mm-hmm. Did you sort of journal while you were working on the show and write things down that you thought might be useful for something like this?
Every time something I thought might be a little noteworthy happened, I would rush back to my little tiny space, and I'd write it down on a little note card and just tuck it away, and I just kept collecting them.
The title of your book, A Mouthful of Goose, can you give us a hint as to where that comes from?
The goose is just very prevalent in the Cratchit scene, and they make such a big deal about the goose. And actually, there's a story in the book about me making fun of Where's the Goose or Here's the Goose or something with Martha and Belinda. And so that's kind of where the title comes from. It's mm-hmm. kind of a play on words with that.
You also produce the very colorful artwork for the cover. You mm-hmm. are a multi-talented creator, it would seem.
I have many skills, yes.
And the book, as I understand it, is you can purchase a hard copy of mm-hmm. it, but it's also available for download. Is that correct?
That is correct, on Kindle or e-reader as well.
Okay. So Daniel Townsend's book, A Mouthful of Goose, it's a self-published mm-hmm. book. It is available for download. It might be a perfect gift for a Cincinnati theater yes. lover, it seems to me. For a link to obtain your own copy or to download it for your e-reader, you can go to wvxu.org. My guest this evening has been writer and one-time wig master Daniel Townsend. Thanks for stopping by and sharing some backstage scoop with our listeners.
Thanks for having me.
Happy holidays to you. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.